Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Austin Price joins us. You can meet Austin if you win these tickets. Austin, what's up, man?
I've got two questions and an observation. One, I've got the eighth pick in my fantasy draft tonight. Paul, who should I take?
I had
two.
The eighth pick the other night.
Why was I not included in this league that you're in? And three, Chad winning 2 years in a row is just giving him justification to be the coach of the Vols and predict 4-8 after Saturday.
That's a debacle for Chad to win. You're not invited because it's a Nashville thing, and we don't want any of you commuters.
Oh, hey man, it's like those high schools. I can get an address over there. We'll have some mail sent.
And number eight, you should take Julio Jones unless you're in a league where people are dumb enough to take quarterbacks before eight, in which case there'll be a running back there you should take.
Okay.
Should get the second wide receiver. Should be Julio Jones.
Austin, before we get
second Breshad Perriman. Go ahead.
before we get to the recap of Tennessee, West Virginia, you had some news today that Trey Coleman is leaving the program.
Chad's very sad about this one. It might throw him off his drafting game time.
I forgot Trey Coleman was still with the program until you tweeted that out, Austin.
Hey, man. I mean, I think there's several that are like that, you know, from that 2017 class. You go back, and I look at it this way. Tennessee basically chose Trey Coleman over Chase Hayden, a VFL legacy who's made an impact at Arkansas even before he got injured a year ago as a true freshman. That was a bad choice. And Trey Coleman now left the program, heading either the JUCO route, you know, maybe back to Louisiana Monroe, where he's from, in that area. But that was just never going to factor here. Was behind two guys in his own class, and Tim Jordan and Ty Chandler. Jeremy Banks had passed him on the depth chart, as had grad transfer Madre London. And was just never going to be a factor here. I thought his one lone hope was to really buy into the fullback route and go that way, but did not want to do that. And, you know, saw the writing on the wall and decided it was time to move on.
Austin, what's the latest with Ty Chandler after the hit to the head on Saturday?
Well, you know, Jeremy Pruitt called him day-to-day. I mean, I think it's just a matter of getting through the protocol. I mean, you know, he took a knee to the head. Took a tough shot, but he'll be fine. I mean, you know, Ty's a tough kid. And, you know, hey, man, if you play for Marty Everard, you know, you can easily overcome a good knock to the head. I mean, you know, he's tough-minded, and I expect him, if he's not back out there on Saturday, to definitely be back out there for UTEP. But would not rush this one along. I would get him fully back and ready to go for what is the gauntlet run coming up in a couple of weeks.
Austin, were you as surprised with Tim Jordan as we were from week one?
No, I mean, if you go back, remember, I, you know, threw out the wild prediction 6.5 weeks ago that he would be the starter for game number one. And, you know, this staff likes him. He really is kind of like a Swiss Army knife for them. He catches the ball out of the backfield well. Coach Pruitt sang his praises, but also reined him back in a little bit and said, you know, if you'd hit the hole that you were supposed to go through instead of trying to bounce everything outside, basically like a high school running back does, then you likely are running through the back of the end zone and continuing towards Rock Hill, South Carolina, out the end zone. So, you know, Coach Pruitt, you know, praising him, but also noting, you know, he could have ran for more yards than he actually did, which is a good sign because, you know, that kind of thing will come. You know, he's not played a lot of football here. He showed a little bit of flash last year when he got some carries late in game. And then, obviously, I think he and Ty Chandler can be a nice 1-2 punch. And then I'm interested to see how much they go with Jeremy Banks the next couple of weeks, because I think the true freshman can be pushing those two and definitely pushing Madre London.
Austin, you know, Jeremy Pruitt and staff have been famously tight-lipped with information, with media availability, with everything else. But I found it refreshing that after the game and with his next press conference, he was very candid and open about his shortcomings, about this team's shortcomings, and about how they're going to work to get better. What did you make of his performance in the post-game press conference after what was a disappointing game?
Well, frankly, I was more shocked by that. Just knowing how he handled the press conference post the Orange and White game. And let's face it, it's the Orange and White game. nobody really loses the orange and white game. And, you know, he was pretty critical of the fan turnout. He was critical of his team's ability to compete in the second half of the orange and white game. So I was wondering, what would he be like? And he came in, and it was, I thought, a great teaching moment for him, you know, to show, hey, you know, I can be critical, but I can also love the kids up when I know that we did some things really well. And instead of extenuating the negatives, let's look at the positives here. We did these things well. Now we have to clean up these other things. I thought it was a really good moment for him as a young head coach. And then, you know, I think more than anything, Tennessee fans always wanted to hear Butch Jones just say, that one's on me, and believe it. And, you know, I think Tennessee fans heard that from Jeremy Pruitt. They gravitated towards it. Little things like that, and going forward down on the goal line at fourth and goal, down 10-0. So that wins over the fan base, and it wins over the players, because when the coach is willing to take the brunt of the fallout, even if it's not on him, let's say the players had a good portion to do with the mistakes and it wasn't on Jeremy Pruitt, the fact he took it on himself wins those players over. My coach has my back. That's what they think. The players think, that's my coach. The fans think, that's my coach. And I think that resonates right on down the trailway, to the point where the players play a little bit harder on Saturdays. Does it make a difference between winning and losing? Probably not, but I think it does help cultivate a certain type of rapport with the rest of the program.
Austin, as the game went on, the offense showed some flashes. They still only scored 14 points, which is not good, but Garantano was solid. Tim Jordan looked good. The offensive line started to play better as the game went on. Talk me off the ledge here, though, with that defensive performance by Tennessee. Zero pass rush when they rushed four guys. Alante Taylor looked okay at times. Secondary was not good. Where will they improve defensively where they could hang in there with some of the SEC opponents on down the line?
But there's no talking you off the ledge, Chad. Just jump.
I'm ready to with that defense. Tell me why that defense is going to get better.
Well, the only way it gets better in my mind is if they play some of these young kids and give them some real run. And I know they did that in the secondary, but I would do it along the defensive front as well, because Tennessee cannot get to the quarterback. They're painfully thin at linebacker. And so, I honestly, the days of Jonathan Kongbo and Daryl Taylor and, you know, some of these other players, they need to be going by the wayside, because, I mean, they're just not getting it done. I mean, you know, I thought going in, and I'll be the first to say, I picked Tennessee to upset West Virginia based off the fact that I thought they would get some of these older players to buy in enough to make a solid step in the right direction. I saw the same group of guys that were, you know, mentally tormented by the last couple of years of all those big plays and all those big runs and all those big passes. They look like the same group. Mike Abernathy, I was extremely surprised Nigel played as poorly as he did. Baylen Buchanan, who's not played a lot of football but still struggled. I thought your better players across the board were your younger guys, your newcomers, the guys that don't have those scars. And I think that it's going to be tough to, you know, get away from those players with the mental scars unless you just make a wholesale movement to go with some younger guys. I think these next two games come at a perfect time to kind of try out a Theo Jackson in the back end of the secondary. I think this is a perfect time to give him some run, see what he can do, because the players they have out there right now are going to keep you on that ledge, Chad, for a while.
Well, and J.J. Peterson's one of those new players. You mentioned how thin they are at linebacker. How do you expect them to ease him along, or will they ease him along in this process of getting him on the field?
Well, Coach Pruitt said yesterday, we're not going to put any expectations on him. We're going to ramble him slowly. You know, I do think they're going to bring him along slowly as far as playing time. But behind the scenes, I think they're going to be ratcheting up the progression, you know, trying to get him to, you know, soak up as much, be a sponge, you know. And then start him off with special teams. Let him go be a wedge buster. You know, he's a big frame. Kid can run. You know, let him, you know, do what he does best and let an athlete be an athlete. And then work him into being a linebacker. That's where you need the health to be so pivotal for Daniel Batuli, for Darren Kirkland Jr., for Corte Sapp going forward. Because if that happens, then it allows you to bring along J.J. really slowly. If he gets, if they have some injuries, I think they'll be forced to kind of throw him out there and see what happens.
Austin, thank you, man. Appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you on Friday.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.